Masechet Berachot, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Dalet. We're going to continue with the laws of Zimun. The Mishnah says, Shilosha she'achlu ke'ehad enan rasha'in lehalek. If you have three people who ate a meal together, they had a bread meal together, it's prohibited for them to separate and to do Birkat HaMazon on their own. In terms of three people who joined as one unit, they have now the individual obligation of Zimun. Therefore, if one person leaves, the whole Zimun falls apart. So if you're not allowed to leave that group, you have to do Birkat HaMazon together. V'chein arba'a, v'chein hamisha. The same exists if you have four or five people eating together. Even if you may think, you know what, I'll leave and they could still do the Zimun without me. But the Hidush over here of the Mishnah is no. That there's now individual obligations of Zimun. If you ate with other people, you're not allowed to just do Birkat HaMazon on your own and think you're good, but you have the individual Hova of doing Zimun, and same thing with five people. Shisha nehelakin ad asara. But if you have six people in a group together, they're allowed to split into two different groups. They can, if they want to, they were eating together and they want to go the different way, two different sides of the room and do two smaller Zimuns, they're allowed to do that because they have three people in each group ad asara. And they can continuously split into two or even three groups if you have nine people, until they have 10 people. But once you have 10 people, you're not allowed to split into a group. The asara ena nehalakin. 10 people are not allowed to split, because once you have 10 people together, even though you technically could have two different zimuns of five, what you lose out by splitting with you, if you have 10 people, is you lose out on the haskarat shem Hashem. As we said in the previous Mishnah, when you have 10 people who are doing Zimun together, they add in God's name because God rests with a minyan of 10 men. And therefore, if you have 10 people, you're not allowed to split. Until you have 20 people. If you have 20 people there and you could split into two different groups of 10, and you don't lose out on the Shem Hashem, because again, you have 10 people in each group, so you can still mention the name of God as part of the Zimun. Only in that situation are you allowed to separate. Masechet Berachot, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Hei. This Mishnah is going to talk about what's considered to be one group of people in terms of making Zimun together. The Mishnah says, Shete haburot shehayu ochlot bebayit ehad, bizman shemiksatan ro'in elu et elu, if you have two groups of people who are eating in one room, one bayit over here, bayit doesn't mean home, but it means one room, if they could see each other, if the two groups of people, even though they're at separate tables and different locations in a way, if they see each other, it's considered to be one group of people, and they could count zimun together. So if they have two people eating in one group, and one person eating in 50 feet away, but they see each other while they're eating, it's considered to be one group and they're able to make Zimun together, as opposed to both of them not doing Zimun at all. Or, let's say you have two groups of five, who they're at different sides of the room, but they see each other. That group is now able to say Zimun with Shem Hashem. They're able to say Baruch Eloheinu, Nevarech Eloheinu, She'achalnu Mishelo, and therefore they're using the Shem Hashem as part of their Zimun. Mishnah continues V'im Lav, Elu mezamenin le'atzman, ve'elu mezamenin le'atzman. If not, if these people in the same room, they don't have the ability to see each other, there's something blocking them or something like that, they're not going to be able to do zimun as one group. Mishnah continues with another law over here, where it talks about the beracha, an undiluted wine. In the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara, they wouldn't drink wine before it was diluted, before water was added to it, because it was undrinkable. It was so strong and so potent that you weren't able to just drink this type of wine. It was, in a way, syrupy even. So, en mevarachin al hayayin ad shiten letocho mayim, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, you're not allowed to say boreh pili hagefen, an undiluted wine, until water is added to it. He would say, it's not considered to be hashuv enough, where you could say boreh pili hagefen on it. Rather, it would still remain with the same beracha that you had if you were eating it as a grape, which is boreh pili haetz. Hachamim omrim mevarachin. Hachamim say no. You're allowed to say boreh pili hagefen on undiluted wine if hypothetically you'd like to drink it, because the Gemara mentions that there's a certain type of dish which is honey and spices, where they added as the main ingredient something, the raw wine. This dish was called the korite. the koraiti. They would add raw wine to onion spices. So therefore, in some sense, it was edible. So you're allowed to say, borepi hagefen, even on this type of wine, which is undiluted.